Amen. Thank you, Peter. Thank you, all of you who supported last night, who are out there. Thanks to our lead team who did a lot of the behind-the-scenes work. And Peter, thanks to you, man, for running the night. It was awesome. It was beautiful to be there and be a part of it. Church, we are wrapping up our series that has been titled Get Desperate. And I know at the start of this message series, it was a little bit difficult for some of us to wrap our minds around because desperate itself has this negative connotation. We hear the word desperate and we go, well, it's never a good thing to be desperate. And so we spent time early on defining what desperate is. It means that you are focused. It means that the one thing, that's how we started, wasn't it? That Jesus becomes the one thing that we are driving for. And today we're talking about get desperate around these things called rewards. See, God is a good God. He's a good dad. He gives amazing gifts to his kids, but he also gives us rewards. And I think that's an area, in fact, I know that's an area that we don't always understand, that we don't always differentiate the two. But what we're going to find at the end of this message is it's going to land right back in that place of Jesus needing to be the one thing. Jesus needing to be the focal point where we seek, where we get our identity from, where we gain our momentum. So if you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn to Mark chapter 10, and we're going to start at 17. Mark 10, 17. So Jesus has just finished giving his friends around him a bit of a rebuke and saying, hey, you need to understand that kids are important. They're so important, in fact, that they model how we need to be. Remember, not childish, but childlike in our trust, in our faith, in our orientation towards God. And so he starts on his way, and this man runs up to him and falls on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answers. No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your mother and your father and your mother. And so Jesus is essentially saying it this way. He's going, okay, you're on to something here. Okay, so you're actually understanding who I am. You may not understand in the fullness, but when Jesus says, why do you call me good? He's going, okay, you've caught something. Now let's press in further. And I think that's true for many of us, isn't it? We catch ideas, but there's always so much more. There's always so much more for us to understand. There's always so much more for us to learn from. There's always so much more, church, that God wants to give us. And so the man says, teacher, all these I've kept. I've kept them since I was a boy. He's done so great. Right? And Jesus looks at him. And I love this. He says, he looks at him and he loves him. He looks at him and he loves him. And church, this is such an essential piece for us. This is such an essential piece as we move through life. This is such an essential piece as we engage in ministry with others. I was in a situation where I was preparing to go and talk to somebody, and I wanted to pray with them. And I said, God, would you give me a word of knowledge? Do you have something for that person? Something that I shouldn't know, that only I could know, that you gave me? And immediately what came to me is the most important thing is that he knows that I love him. And it was that moment, right? It was one of those moments. We have those moments, those so much more moments where all of a sudden things open up just a little bit wider. You see just a little bit clearer. See, we say the words, God loves us, but often we doubt that. And the most imperative thing underneath all of this, and Tirsa agrees with me, is that we understand God loves us. That just like He looks at this man and says He loved him, He looks at us. No matter what you've done, no matter where you're at, no matter what, He looks at you and He goes, "You're my kid. One thing you lack," he said. "Go sell everything you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." Oh, man. If Jesus loved him, why didn't he just let him just tithe a little bit extra and come and follow him? And see, this is at the heart of what we're talking about. This is at the heart of where we're pressing in today. Jesus loves us so much. He knows exactly what has your heart. And He wants you to be free so that you can love Him. And so as we're moving through today, it may be that money is that thing that grabs you and holds you and keeps you down. It may not be money. It may be affirmation from people. It may be an addiction to something else. Whatever it is, Jesus is saying to us, "Hey, I want you to lay that down. I want you to put that down and then come and follow me." In essence, He's saying, "I want you to trust me. I want you to trust me that the feeling that you're getting from having lots of money, the feeling that you're getting from all the affirmation of your peers, the feeling that you're getting from whatever it is you may be addicted to, is nothing compared to what I have. In fact, that thing is binding." See, Jesus loves, and He brings discomfort. It's like you have two sides of the same coin. He loves you so much that He'll invite you into a place of discomfort so that you can experience the fullness of His love. It sounds like a contradiction, doesn't it? If He loves me, why is there discomfort? It's not a contradiction. He loves us so much that He wants whatever's blocking, binding, pulling us away to be gone so that we can experience the fullness of His love. Do you hear what I'm saying? Man, it's important. It doesn't counter His love. It doesn't contradict His love. It doesn't make His love less. And when we receive it, when we're willing to step into the discomfort, when we're actually willing to get desperate, that's when the freedom comes. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to His disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were amazed at His words, but Jesus said again, "Children." I love that He calls His disciples children. Come on, kids. "How hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples are even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looks at them and says, with man, this is impossible. But not with God. All things are possible with God. You see, there's many people who have shared the metaphor, the spiritual application of the eye of a needle, and clearly that's what Jesus is speaking to and identifying. Anybody sew with a needle lately this last week? Anybody? Liz? Ivy? I still marvel at just getting a thread through the eye of a needle, right? You have to take the little thread, you have to put a little spit on it because it's often frayed on the end, at least the ones that I work with are, and then you're trying to line it up. And I forget where I was recently. Somebody said, because they gave me something to look at, and I did this. Did one of these. So it's I haven't threaded a needle recently, but it's probably one of these, trying to get closer and further to figure it out. Listen. There's this gate or this little portal in a wall in Jerusalem that some say this is what Jesus was referring to. Some people are saying, no, it's just this needle. Regardless, listen, it's possible to get a camel through the eye of a needle. It's actually, literally, it's possible to get a camel through the eye of a needle. How? Now, anybody who has a strong passion for animals is not going to like this. But the camel has to die. The camel has to die, and then it can go through the pleasantly. Absolutely not. And as I was thinking about this week, I didn't spend time on the graphic and the horrific details of a camel. But there's this reality that in order for us to move into the next level, the next space, in fact, in order for us to enter fully into the kingdom of Jesus, we have to die to ourselves. We read that throughout Scripture, the need for us to die to ourselves, to be raised in Christ. With man, this is impossible. With God, this is possible. And so there's an actual need for whatever it is that you're carrying, whatever it is that you're journeying with. Again, be it money, be it approval of others, be it any addiction, there is a need for that thing to die. To be liquefied so that it can be transformed, so that you can be transformed in the fullness that God has for you. Peter says to him, Lord, I mean, we're doing all right, right? I mean, you called us, you came, you sought us out, I mean, we were fishing, you called us, and when we dropped our nets and we came. We left everything to follow you. I tell you the truth, Jesus replied. No one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother, or father, or children, or fields for me in the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, and with them persecutions. And in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last. And the last first. So again, just help us get a little bit of perspective here on who Jesus is talking to. Specifically, he's talking to this rich young man, and we understand that there are other areas that capture our hearts, some more than others. But there's this truth and this reality, church. If you're sitting here If you call Canada home, you are wealthy. Canada is one of the top 25 countries in the whole world as far as wealth goes. In fact, we're looking at going to serve in Guatemala. And the average pay of a Guatemalan in the Tactic area, which is where we're going to be ministering, is 62 cents per hour. When I make my kids do extra, so we do just work normally, but when I make them do extra or invite them to do extra, depending on how it's understood, I pay them more than 62 cents an hour. They make $5 a day. $5 a day. The equivalent of our, even just our minimum wage, would be somewhere around $125 per day. We are wealthy. We are rich. And so when Jesus is speaking about this, it's important that we're allowing God's Spirit to speak into every facet of our lives. And so don't just go, okay, well, money's not the issue for me, it's this thing. Don't minimize it. And if God's dealt with you with money, thank you, though. Come and work with those of us where the dealing hasn't been done. Listen, when we talk about rewards, we get rewards in a sense that we know that in heaven it's going to be great. We go to the Revelation, a passage that talks about in heaven there won't be any more weeping, everything is going to be amazing, and I love that passage. It's a vision passage, it's one that we need to go to, it's one that we need to hold on to, absolutely. And the rewards will be amazing. Hebrews 11:6 says this, without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him, and it says two things here, doesn't it? Listen, anything who comes to Him must believe that He exists, that's one, and then He rewards those who earnestly seek Him, that's two. I see two things. Do you see two things? Okay, so read this with me. Anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists. Okay, now just pause. I'm going to say the and then you're going to repeat the last bit. And that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Okay, that was our warm-up. I know there's definitely more than five people here. Take a deep breath. Get ready. Let's speak this out so we can hear it. We'll do it the same way. So anyone who comes to Him must believe that, beautiful, and that He rewards. So if you weren't here last week, Dan did an amazing job of talking about the importance of faith. One of the key lines from that is Jesus asking Peter after he took these amazing steps in faith and then he faltered, and Jesus asks him, why did you let doubt win? Right? I love Peter, I love your courage. And on the other side of the coin is this correction, this why did you let doubt win? To cancel the love? Absolutely not. It's just this invitation into more. So we're hearing in Hebrews that faith is essential to pleasing God, and that we need to believe that God is a good dad, that He is real, that he exists, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Now, first, when we hear this idea of rewards, we go, okay, yeah, I get it. I'm going to get lots of rewards in heaven. I've got to bite down. I've got to endure this pain because this world has trouble, and that's all I'm going to get in this world is trouble, and here we go. And you just sort of, you bite down and you press in and you keep going. You ever been there? I've been there. I confess I've been there. I'm not there now, thank you, Lord. No people who have been there? Not always the most encouraging. We'll just get through it. Listen, I want us to go back to read what Jesus says in Mark. No one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me in the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. And then it goes on to list them again. And in the age to come, you'll receive eternal life. See, Jesus is saying, these things aren't bad. In fact, I want to bless you with them. What's imperative, what's absolutely imperative, is that my kingdom, me as your king, becomes the one thing. That's the most important thing. This isn't my idea. This is from Jesus. He's saying, make me number one. Give up those things for my sake. I'm going to give it back and more. Now, I want us to understand, we're going to come back to this idea in a moment. There's a difference between gift and reward. Okay, there's a difference between a gift and a reward. See, a gift is something that's given freely. A gift is something that the best gifts should be given without strings attached. So an example of this may be a birthday gift. You give somebody a birthday gift. Why? Because they were born on that day. It's a celebration of them. They didn't actually do anything. They came to life on that day. It's a miracle. So maybe we should be giving gifts to God for the miracle that he did. But no, it's a gift that's given on that day. Christmas gifts. We're coming up to Christmas. Always an amazing time. Anybody have their shopping done already? Yes, I love it. That's amazing. I just marvel at that. It's a dream I have, and I, one day. Rianne's going to teach a class next year. We'll start it in September, hey? Perfect. Christmas, so you give gifts at Christmas. Why? Well, honestly, because we're celebrating the gift that God gave us in Jesus. It should be, but tradition can be otherwise, and it's one of the beautiful ways where our culture around us gives gifts, and we can speak the gospel story. But we give gifts to one another or to our kids or whatever without strings. It's a gift. Right? God loved us so much that what? He gave his son. Jesus is a gift. His life is a gift, isn't it? Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Gift, okay, so we understand gift. Reward is something that is earned. A reward is earned. let's say you work in sales, and in a given quarter, you set, you're given a goal by your boss to say, make sure you sell this amount, and make sure it's done within the quarter. If you sell that amount, you get a reward. You worked hard, you achieved something, you're given a reward. A student, we've got a few students in here. Students sometimes are, if you achieve a 4.0 GPA, you are going to get a gift of a new car. Wouldn't that be amazing? Maybe driving lessons. And so you set out, you work hard, you work to get that 4.0 GPA, and you get a reward. Well done. Was that Robin? It's dark. I can't see. Listen, there's a difference between gift and reward. There's a difference between gift and reward. And in our circle, we emphasize this idea of grace, and we have to emphasize grace because grace is the only way that we enter into the fullness of Jesus. It's the only way that we get there. So don't hear me minimizing the gift of God. Don't hear me minimizing grace at all, because I'm not. It all starts with God's love. I can't say that more emphatically. The only way that we can even talk about rewards is because of the gift of God. Are you with me? But Jesus goes on from there, and he talks about rewards. He's saying what you do actually matters. It makes a difference. Now, if you start to look it up, and this might be something that you'll want to do in your community group, spend a bit of time looking up where God speaks through Scripture about rewards, there are many, many, many passages. I'm just going to mention just a few right now. So we've already touched on the one in Mark. I've mentioned the one now from Romans. In Matthew 6, Jesus is talking, the Sermon on the Mount. He says, when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what's done in secret, will what? Reward you. I'm going to give you one more here. Revelation 22:12. Look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. There's a difference between gift and reward. Church, after we receive the grace gift of God, after, and remember, this is the primary, this is the anchoring starting place. Listen, there's more. There's so much more, and it's so good. And what we do matters. What we do matters. Now, I'm going to need a volunteer. Anybody volunteer? Any hands go up? Anybody? Aaron, come on up here. Come on up here.
give you that mic? Speak right close into it. When you speak. Did you know that I was going to ask for a volunteer today?
No.
No, okay. Aaron did not know I was going to ask for a volunteer today. Now, Aaron, what I'm going to need you to do, so you didn't know I was going to ask you to come up here. What I need you to do now is to choose anybody. We're going to need another volunteer. Sorry. We're going to need one more volunteer. Can anybody put your hand up if you want to volunteer to be the next volunteer?
It's actually a magic trick.
I am not. So I'm not going to. I'm not even.
Gerald.
Gonna look. Okay. Gerald. You do have to come up, yeah. Now, did anybody hear me say that you have to be a teacher or in the education ministry to be a part of this volunteer team? No, it just happened that way. Okay. Now, Gerald, did you know that I was going to invite you or that there was going to be a volunteer participation, anything like that?
No.
Okay, Gerald didn't know as well. All right, so what I have here in my hands are two checks that I'm just going to start to fill out here. Aaron, I'm just going to ask you, while I start to fill these out, can you read just this passage here from Mark 10?
Mark 10, 29, 31. "Truly I tell you," Jesus replied, "no one has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first."
All right. Now, can you for me just read out who those are addressed to?
They're blank.
Okay, blank checks. And what the amount is on the different checks?
$100 and $1.
Okay, perfect. So I'm not going to touch those checks again. You're just going to hold on to them. Okay, now, Gerald, let's say, this is an example, okay? Let's say that we went to Davis Bay. I invited you just to be part of a group. We go to Davis Bay, we're on the pier, and I say, hey, as a reward for coming, I'm just going to give you $1, okay?
Yep.
But if you jump into the ocean, I'm going to give you $100.
Yeah, take it.
What's your thought process? What's going to happen as you're moving through there?
I'm thinking, I don't like going in the ocean because I'm at least to this part of the world because I don't like cold water. But then you'd say $100, and I go, yeah, I'd get cold for that. That's worth the discomfort.
Okay, awesome. Okay. Okay, so that's what you choose. Okay, so does that make sense to us? We see that, we hear it. We're computing. Jesus is saying to us, listen, if you give up something for my sake, I'm going to give it back to you 100-fold. Okay, so 1 times 100 is 100. Okay. So in this example, Gerald was invited to the pier. That was a reward enough. That was a single. But he chose to do this extra thing, which was for my sake, because I'm giving the check. And there's this benefit for him 100-fold if he goes in the boat. Beautiful. Okay. So let's do another one now. Because it's Gerald, this is awesome. Because Gerald is helping out in a bunch of areas with worship and with filming, and if I said, hey Gerald, would you come and just bring your equipment and to help us film for community groups?
Yeah.
So as a reward for that, Gerald, I'm going to give you a dollar. Man, worth way more than that, but I'm going to give you a dollar. Now, Gerald, if you take this video at home and you do some editing and you make it look good and you put sweet music behind it for our community groups, I'm going to give you $100. What would you choose?
Well, I'd do it for free, so $100 is great.
He actually does all of that, so it's a little bit rigged.
Yeah, sounds like a great deal.
Okay, awesome. Okay, so now here's last example, I'm going to put this not just to you, but to everybody. Let's say you are in a situation where you know a friend, so let's say it's somebody that you work with or something like that, and you're challenged, invited to invite them to the auction last night or Christmas Eve service or something like that. Just really simple. And everybody who does that, we're just going to give you a dollar, as opposed to we're gonna challenge you to just speak to the truth of God that He loves them. Just to say those simple words, how would you respond? What would you do? What would you do? Just think about it for a second. Did it change for you? Did your answer change for you? Did it shift? And first of all, if it did, that's okay. Two sides of the same coin. Man, God's love is fierce for you. But here's the other, is that Jesus is calling us to go out and for His name to step into uncomfortable situations, to make known to the world around us this amazing gift of God. All right. Aaron, could you give those checks to Gerald for being willing to come up? And let's say thank you to Gerald. Gerald, you are free to do whatever you want with those. They are blank checks. There's zero expectations. And so let's thank Gerald and Aaron for coming up. How's everybody doing right now? Okay. Should have had my timer out, eh? Beautiful church. We've got a press in here, and there is so much essential information that we need here. Julie, can you put the... It's not Julie, it's Peyton. Peyton, how's it going? Can you put up this slide that says, if your experience doesn't match Scripture? Beautiful. Awesome. Now, here's the question. Some of us thought, as soon as Aaron gave the checks to Gerald and watched them go off, but what about Aaron? He volunteered as well. Where's his reward? Anybody? Yeah, I did. It's in heaven. Did somebody say that? Woo! Here's the challenge. Here's the challenging part of this. Okay, here's the challenging piece, is that sometimes we allow our experience to interpret what Scripture says. Now, Jesus just told us that if we give up things for His sake, we will receive them back in this life. And persecutions. See, He's not saying this is a blank check and nothing ever negative is going to happen to you. He's saying, hey, I've got your back. I'm going to give you amazing things when you trust and follow me. In fact, I'm going to give you more than you need. I'm going to give you 100 times what you had. But guess what? As soon as the blessings come, as soon as the rewards come, so do the persecutions.
so do the difficulties. Guess what? We live in a war zone. In this world, you will have trouble. We're going to have trouble. But listen, friends, it is way better when we trust Jesus with everything. Because in Him, we overcome the trouble. Outside of Him, we are vulnerable. We are prey to the trouble. Not P-R-A-Y, but P-R-E-Y. If your experience doesn't match Scripture, often we throw Scripture is wrong in that blank. We go, well, that's not actually what Jesus meant because I'm not experiencing it that way. Jesus didn't really mean that we would do greater things than He did because I'm not doing greater things than He did. And then we take our eyes off of Jesus and put it onto whatever else it is that we think is going to meet our needs. Are you with me? If your experience doesn't match Scripture, listen, church, Scripture isn't wrong. The truth of God isn't wrong. What Jesus promised to us is there for us. Receiving the gift is the first step, but then it comes to us responding. It responds to us believing. It's connected to what we do. Yeah. So if your experience doesn't match Scripture, your experience is wrong. And it's within your grasp to shift what you're doing. Man, God loves you so much. God has this fullness, this amazing life for you. Now, all of this ties back to who we are in Jesus. All this ties back to who we are in Jesus. Now, I was praying just on the drive here this morning, and it was like God help me to place this into form right now, and so I want to share with you what it was that I heard. And see, all of the rewards come from being. So it's that intrinsic versus extrinsic motivation. If all we're oriented around is trying to get 100 times what we have, our motivation, our orientation is false. Well, I want 100 homes, so I'm going to sell my home and I'm going to give the money to a great cause, and then I'm just going to wait for Jesus to give me 100 homes. Your orientation is false. You have an external drive that isn't hardwired into being in relationship with Jesus. See, all the rewards come from being, but the being leads to doing. Are you with me so far? All the rewards come from our being in Jesus, but the being leads to doing, okay? Now here's the thing. We are promised ability in the doing and the reward for what we do. Now, as soon as we start to understand this, it's going to build us up. It's going to ignite us. I want to point out three scriptures in John 14, 15, and 16. Now this is Jesus. He's finished washing His disciples' feet in John 13. In John 14 and 16 are these beautiful passages that talk about
for the Holy Spirit who is going to come as Jesus goes to the Father. And 15 is where we find that passage about, I am the vine and you are the branches. Remain in me and I will remain in you. Listen, if there was one passage that I would encourage us to memorize, to sit in, to rest in, to understand right now in this season, it would be John 15, because it's all about abiding in. And as soon as we get this abiding, we're locked into the being. The rewards come from the being leads to doing. And we're promised ability for everything we have to do. Here's what I mean, okay? John 14, verse 13. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. The orientation is to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. Anchored in God, glorifying the Father, ask whatever you want, I'll do it. John 15:7, if you remain in me, my words remain in you. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. John 16:23, in that day you will no longer ask me anything. Jesus is talking about after the Spirit's come. Very truly I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive and your joy will be complete. Listen, what we do matters. In fact, what we do is connected to rewards that we'll receive. We're not talking about eternal rewards, although those are absolutely connected to what we do. We're not talking just about eternal rewards. We're talking about rewards that happen now. But all of this comes from our being in Jesus, oriented around the one thing, eyes fixed on Him, glorifying the Father, and then comes the doing, then comes the reward. Now, if we're honest, each and every single one of us here are carrying something that is enticing, and maybe just a little bit enticing, or it may be significantly enticing. But as God asks you to lay it down, because He wants our full attention so that He can bless us reward. As God asks you to lay it down, you make a choice. I make a choice. We make a choice. And His love never goes away. Does it? Ever. Ever. But what we do as we remain in Him, and then what we do as we act it out, it matters, church. And so the call, the invitation, the beautiful thing, the promise is this call to get desperate. I can invite you to stand. Yesterday, as Peter was opening the night, he shared about Crossroads having had this vision for a number of years that one day there would be this connection, this relationship, this in a global context that we would be going, and that we were now in these next stages of seeing that come to reality. And man, that was exciting. When you said those words, Peter, my heart swelled. Right? It was this beautiful moment of seeing these next steps. And I believe some of what we're stepping into and tasting are connected to rewards that God has for us. I honestly believe that. But church, I believe we're just at the beginning. I believe we're just at the beginning. There's so much more for us to go and get. And so what we do matters. And I promise you, that God has amazing things in store. He's just inviting you. He's inviting you to lay things down. Anything that blinds, anything that blocks, anything that obstructs. But can I invite our ministry teams forward? So church, what we're going to do right now is we're just going to pray and we're going to make space. And our ministry teams are going to be up here. And there's a reality that if we hear conviction, but we don't respond, we make space for delay, and we make space for obstruction, whether that's our own obstruction or access for the enemy, and nobody wants that, right? And so the most important thing, church, is that we stand firm, is that we take these steps in faith, right? Knowing that God is a good God who loves us, knowing that He exists, and knowing that He rewards His kids. And so as we close today, as we close this series, church, I would love for it to be a memory point in your life, where you go, man, that's the day that I actually said I wanted Jesus more than I wanted money, more than I wanted approval, more than I wanted whatever the addiction is. And so we're just going to move into minute. I'm going to pray. We're going to move into ministry time, and then I'm going to invite you to come forward to our ministry team. And prayer teams, if you're here and we're starting to pile up, which is beautiful, just jump in here in the middle. And I want you to tell somebody. I don't carry whatever it is that could be like the rich man to make you sad and to walk away from here. Don't do that. Get desperate for Jesus. Remember, if your experience isn't matching Scripture, your experience isn't wrong, and God has more for you to experience. Let's pray. God, I see Your love for us as a people. I hear Your promise, not only of that love, but of the rewards that You have for us, both now and in the age to come, Lord. And so, just right now in Jesus' name, we silence the voice of the enemy. Do you agree with me, church? And we invite You, Holy Spirit, to speak right into the very core of our being. Bring your light, Lord. And so if there's anybody here who has not chosen Jesus as Lord, I just want to invite you to make your way forward to the prayer teams, because we want to pray with you. And for those of us who are carrying something that isn't ours to carry, that we've been fighting with, I want you to go and bring that into community, bring it into the light. So Lord, as we move into this ministry time, would You speak, would You move, would You guide, would You direct? Would You bring Your freedom so that we can set our eyes on You, so that we can move forward, so that we can actually receive the amazing rewards that come out of the gift of Your Son. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, church. Have an amazing week. Be blessed. I pray that you would move from here radiating the light and the hope of Christ. We'll see you next week.